Here, and I understand they're not youngins, but some of them are youngins, some of them are young adults, and as the pastor's already said, some of them's married. I know some of them, so I know some of them's married, but I brought them up here tonight for an example. I had a message that the Lord has given us all day, and thought on that thing all day long as we worked, but this evening about 5:30, he took that from me, and I couldn't find it nowhere, and so the Lord gave us something else, and I appreciate what the Lord has given us tonight. I want to say this, I appreciate the hospitality of this church. To me and my wife and my youngins this week, it's been a blessing from the cards to the gifts to the love, the food, and everything in between. The love offering tonight, that wasn't necessary, but I appreciate that. And I just thank you so much, church. I love you, and I feel at home here. I really do. And I appreciate that. And it's because of the Lord, but it's because of you folks. Amen. I want to preach something tonight. I think it's the most serious message of the week. I felt like I knew from the experience of pastor myself, that this would be Calvary tonight. I knew that. It's always like that in revival on Wednesday night. And you can pretty much guarantee on that on Wednesday night. And so if you may be here a visitor tonight, and God bless you, but you're part of Calvary tonight, I guess. And so we're going to mind the Lord together. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. I want to bring something that the Lord has given us. It's partly earlier this year, but also, or last year, should I say, but also tonight as the choir singing and Mark's testifying and different things. The Lord kept pouring out stuff to us. And I want to show you something tonight. I've got these young folks sitting behind me because you're looking at the tomorrow of Calvary Baptist Church. But if they're not allowed part of today, they won't know how to take care of tomorrow.
Right.
There are things that's required to take care of this church that's not seen. There's things that go on behind the scenes. There's things that, and I've learned since that message that I preached the other night about the different parts in the church, about the cumbersome parts. I've had folks come up to me and comment on certain parts. Well, I have to do this and I have to do that. And I even had some folks say, well, I'm glad that so-and-so does this. And I had somebody say, I sure am glad somebody takes care of the toilet paper. Had somebody say that to me. And I don't mean that funny, but I do mean it honest. That's part of the church. And I thank God for that. But what you're looking at, and I'm going to, excuse me, but I'm going to call this crowd youngins. And I know there's some back up here that's not youngins, they're adults. But you're youngins tonight, every one of you, so be thankful for that. But these out here are the old folks. So that's the adults. I got amen right here. All right. All right. All right. Genesis chapter 22, if you found your places tonight, we want to read you a few verses of Scripture. I hope it will be a blessing to you, and we're going to get into the Scripture tonight, and hopefully it will be a blessing to you. Genesis chapter 22, the Bible says this, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God hath told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men," no, I'm going to stop right there. We're going to stop at verse number 4 tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And ask the Lord to help us tonight. You pray for yourself. Pray you'd have an open heart, open eyes, open mind. We could receive the Word of God tonight. Chris, would you pray for us?
Heavenly Father God, we come to you with
us. Amen. Always love Wednesday night service during revival. We say, why is that? I've already mentioned why. Because it's the church. It's the church. And when you get your Wednesday night service, you know what that is. That's called the backbone. And so I appreciate the backbone of the church. And I appreciate getting to preach to the backbone of the church. One of my favorite services is on Wednesday night. And you say, why is that? Because you see where the rubber meets the road on Wednesday night. You kind of get down to the nitty gritty and you see who's listening, who's paying attention, who's there, who's committed, who's in. And you'll find out who's out, to be honest with you. And so I appreciate a good Wednesday night service during revival because you see the true heart of the church. And I want to say this tonight, and I mean this, and I'm going to give you a little bit of background on why I'm saying this as I go along. But before we get to preaching tonight, I've got to preach to you a little bit before we preach the message. But I want to say a few things about Calvary Baptist Church. Church, you have a good church. Amen. Boy, I thought I was done struck out right there. Yeah. Let's try that again. I believe Calvary Church is a good church.
Amen.
All right. I believe it's done great things in the past for the Lord. I believe it's doing good things right now for the Lord. And I believe it's got a good future, amen, in the Lord. Not just in Mark Hall, not just in a choir leader, not just in one person, but I believe it's got a good future in the Lord. And as I say that, I want to say this, and I can say this on the authority of experience. And me and Mark's got a team up together here and tag team here just a second. But, you know, me and Mark's run together a whole lot. There was a lot of times, and I don't say this bragging, I'm not bragging on me, and I'm not bragging on him. I'm telling you facts tonight. There's lots of times over the years he'd get the spring revival and I'd get the fall revival at the same church. And it was on and on and on and on, and now I'm hitting on close to number 60 about the past 10 years. And your pastor's got the same amount. He's got the same notches in his belt. 15, 16 years, 17, whatever. But that's a lot of revivals. That's at a lot of churches. Let me tell you something about some of these revivals, some of these churches. You've heard my stories. I've cried on your shoulder. You've cried on mine. I've sat in a parking lot of a church on a Wednesday afternoon, on a Monday through Friday revival, and begged the Lord to send somebody else to finish preaching it. I've been to revivals before, and I had to take my people to lead the choir. I've been to revivals before, and I had to take my people to play the piano. My musicians. They's welcome to go. They love to go. But why wouldn't somebody else doing it? I've been to churches before and come out of the prayer room and the pastor said, just however you want to conduct the week's services, you go right ahead. And he never spoke. I done it all. I opened up. I took prayer requests. We done everything else. Done the prayer room. I've been in revivals before. Get down to the prayer room and it's me and the pastor. And he'll say, well, what do you want to do this week? How do you want to do this? And I'm thinking to myself, for the love of Pete, what's happened? What's going on?
Come on.
We've been in revivals before, and if you take out your four and take out my four, that was the third. Right. Am I true? Am I telling the truth? I'm not saying this to throw a rock at any of these churches, because I say this tonight. If there's two or three gathered in the midst and the Lord Jesus is there, you know what? His spirit can be free. His spirit can be real. Souls still can be saved. And I'm not talking about it takes 300 to have revival. I'm not saying that. I'm going to tell you something. They can be a little fox amongst three people or 300. You better guard your door. Amen. You better guard your heart. What I'm saying is this right here, Calvary. And I say this to commend you, not bragging, but to commend you. What you have is not common. Come on, church, help me out. Amen. I'll be a whole lot easier now if you help me. What you have is not common. Amen. What you have is a blessing. To be able to sit, adults, to be able to sit in the pews tonight and be able to witness what we just did and hear what we just heard and see what we just saw of them singing. And I mean, they weren't singing for the honky-tonk. They weren't singing for the devil. They singing about a Savior.
Amen.
And I appreciate that. But I want to tell you that the reason they're able to do that is down through the years, somebody's plowed straight. Down through the years, somebody's led them in the right way. And I want to say this, without the correct leadership in history, Calvary Baptist Church would not be where it's at today. Amen. I'm talking about history of years and years ago, and I'm talking about history of last month also. If somebody did not stay the course, Calvary Baptist Church would not be where it's at today. How many agrees with that? Raise your hand. Amen. Now let me take another vote. If we quit leading, where are we headed? Just like those I talked about. And they're there. Now, Mark, I'm going to ask you a question.
Go ahead, brother.
In your 50 or 60 you've been in, has the majority been on fire or on life support?
Life support.
He said life support. You know what life support means? It means barely alive. Barely alive. Have you ever had to cut a hole out in the tension so you can find a spot to preach?
Come on, brother. Come on.
That's not here.
Come on, brother.
Amen.
They're going to have to wake up just a little bit. Help me out.
It's hard when you're bragging on
people. That's not here.
Amen.
Hey, that's better. All right. I'm going to expect that now. But I appreciate the Spirit of God that's here. When there's liberty, you can preach. And one of my deacons asked me today, he says, well, how's it going? I said, under God, they're going to preach me to death. I said, that's just the way I feel. But I enjoy it. I love it. I wouldn't have it no other way. Chris said something in a prayer room last night. He said, I'd rather preach than breathe. Hey, I agree with him. It's my favorite thing to do is to preach the gospel. What a blessing.
Come on.
And I hope your favorite thing to do is to teach. And I hope your favorite thing to do is to lead. And I hope your favorite thing to do is to sing. And I hope your favorite thing to do is to preach the gospel. But when they're up there singing, hallelujah, that's honey on the biscuits. What a blessing that is that the Lord has allowed the church to have something like
Amen.
That.
Yes, sir.
And your pastor just stood up and talked about investing. Now, this old fogies, just turn around and look up here. I see something worth investing in.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
If you ain't interested in investing tonight, you're welcome to leave. But I think we ought to invest. Amen.
Amen.
Leadership is important for the local church. I look back throughout the years, Brother Mark, and I've thought about those churches. My heart is broke for those churches in that shape. And I pray for them, and I won't name one of them. God knows who they are. But somewhere down through time, leadership failed.
You're right.
And when leadership fails, the boat's going to sink. Amen.
Right.
That's like cutting the engines off on the airplane, and you know what's going to happen.
Come on.
That's what happens in the church. Let me tell you just a few things about leadership that I wrote down while your pastor was preaching a few moments ago. Let me tell you a few things that the Lord was giving me. You know what leadership does? It leads.
Come on.
It leads.
Right.
Now, young folks, do y'all need them? How many of y'all are still 100% dependent on your parents? A bunch of yous. How many of you wish your parents would pick it up a little bit? Macy raised both hands. These youngins depend on you old fogies for a lot. And it ain't just socks and underwear and food.
Come on.
They depend. Leadership leads. How many of you would be where you are today if your parents had not led you the right way? How many of you would probably been in a honky-tonk somewhere tonight had your parents not led you the right way?
Come on, brother. Come on, brother.
You are needed to lead them. The Bible says for a parent, there's some instruction in the Bible. It says train up a child in the way it should go. When your daddy was 93 years old, you were still his child.
Amen.
Amen. Unless you don't matter how many birthdays you have, if you're a parent tonight, your job is still to lead.
Amen.
Amen. It's still to lead. These times today, I still call my daddy and say, what would you do?
Come on.
What would you do? Leadership leads. Leadership guides. Leadership directs. Listen to this. Leadership sets an example. Leadership for the future of Calvary Baptist Church needs to stay strong.
Come on.
Amen. Leadership, listen, is being watched.
Yes, sir.
Y'all put your eyes on them. I mean, get real beady-eyed with somebody. Just put your eyes on them. Leadership watches. And don't you think for a minute they ain't watching your footsteps.
Right, sir.
Amen. Leadership watches. Listen, leadership will be required of you.
Come on.
Amen, youngins. Amen, parents. Leadership will be required of you. Hey, you'll give an answer for that. Listen, leadership will be answered for. Leadership is needed today more than it's ever needed in the day and time that we live in. It's needed more today. I'm not talking about narrow-minded backwoods just because I said so. I'm talking about godly leadership. Godly instruction. Doing things the right way. Hey, listen, we need to teach them how to walk. We need to teach them how to talk. We need to teach them how to dress. We need to teach them how to act. We need to teach them the right Bible to read. They teach them the right songs to sing. Everything. A babe in Christ does not know diddly squat about the Holy Spirit of God. And so they've got to be led. Not driven. They've got to be led. So how are they going to learn? We expect the best from them. You let one of these get a D or a C in school, and some of you will ground them for 30 years. And you expect their teacher to have done a better job.
Come on.
Well, I'm glad the Lord ain't grading me as a daddy.
Come on.
I'd be in trouble.
Come on.
Oh, but he is. Leadership is important. Did you know in your life tonight, in our own life, listen, that somebody stayed the course for you?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know for this church to be where it's at? Listen, I done said somebody done things the right way. Somebody showed up. Somebody led somebody. Did you know tonight if we're going to have true leadership from you folks? For these folks, your pastor's done said we're going to have to decide somebody is going to have to invest in the future. You're not just investing in the future of just these 30 or 40 sitting behind me. You're invested in the future of Calvary Baptist Church. Do you want the church to be here in 10 years? Do you want it to be here in 50 years? Do you want there to be a soul winning station in 100 years? Yes, I want there to be a soul winning station. Then listen, the fervency of prayer needs to be today. We need to be on fire today. We need to be doing something for God today. You don't have a vacation from God. You can't take a day off. You can't be slack. Hey, they're watching you. Now I'm going to hurt your feelings. How many of y'all see some of them sometimes not be faithful? Nobody raised their hand, but they answered.
Come on.
And how many of y'all wish some of them was more faithful?
Come on.
You know how you do it? Just get faithful together.
Come on.
Because if every time you're here, they're here, you know what they know? They know you're faithful.
Come on.
Amen. Let me tell you about the totem pole of leadership. The totem pole of leadership, it doesn't matter if it's the front pew or the back pew, and I've always wanted to say this in a message. I never have till tonight, but I'm going to. The totem pole of leadership, we don't care much about the, I'm going to say back row. I'm not feeding nobody on the back row. I'm just using it as an example. Don't care much about that. Where's the deacons at tonight? Raise your hand. If your pastor becomes a 50% time attendee, high faithful, is he going to get fired? Come on, Diggins. Somebody say yes. Why? Well, he can't fire y'all.
Come on.
That's leadership. He's not the only leader.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you. Everybody is a leader.
Come on,
everybody, right? From the front pew to the back pew, the totem pole just got sawed down. Everybody is required. But he gets pinpointed because he's the guy standing up front.
Come on.
And we put him on the pedestal, and boy, he ought to be honored, double honored.
Come on.
But we put him on the pedestal, and if he drags in late every Sunday, or if he stays out and goes to the beach or the mountains or got a hangnail on his toe and misses every third Sunday, then that's not good for our church.
Come on.
But it's not good for the church when the pew does it.
Come on.
Because they see it, and you see it, and your neighbor sees it, but God sees it.
Amen.
That's leadership. It's leadership. Think about leadership. Is leadership important in this church? Listen, are we willing tonight to commit to Christ for their sake?
Come on.
Are we willing to commit for Christ for the sake of this church?
Come on, brother.
Now, Abraham was out. I'm going to get to the message. Abraham was out doing his thing that Abraham does. I'm going to preach a message tonight on leadership through the eyes of Isaac. What did Isaac see? What did Isaac see? Abraham's out doing his daily stuff that he daily does. He was a daddy. Do you know that? He's a husband. Do you know that? Little Sarah's at home doing what she does. Isaac's doing whatever it is. Little Isaac was doing that day, probably skipping rocks on the pond or, you know, fishing or maybe helping with whatever he was doing. Well, Abraham was out doing his Abraham duties, and he was out taking care of the sheep, doing all this stuff, and something happened to Abraham that day. He got a phone call while he was at work.
Come on.
You ever get one of them? You ever get one of them when you answer, before you answer, you're like, oh no.
Come on.
He got one of these 2 o'clock in the morning phone calls.
Come on.
The Bible says it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. God called him. The Bible says, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. He answered. He answered.
Come on.
And listen to what was on the other line. Here's what God said. Abraham, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Now parents, put this phone call in your hand. And the Lord says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I'll tell thee of. And the Lord hangs up. According to Scripture, that's all he told him.
That's it.
He just says, you know what, don't you do, Abraham? He said, don't you take your boy that you love, your son, your child, the one you labored for, you and your wife, the one you waited for, no doubt prayed for. I want you to take him, and I want you to sacrifice him. Now, for those of us that's asleep, that means to take his life.
Come on.
And I want you to do that for your son, your precious son Isaac. And that's what I want you to do. And you just go ahead and do that. And as you take him to one of the mountains, you take him to the one, I'll tell you where it's at. And the Lord leaves him. Now, how crushed would you have been as a parent if it's one of these? Everybody out there that's got something invested up here, would you raise your hand, please? Whether you're a mama, a daddy, a grandma, a grandpa, a next door neighbor, a cousin, or whether you just love the stuffings out of them. Every one of us. Is it a, you say, well, I ain't blood kin. How about a Christian brother or sister?
Come on, brother.
How about a soul that the Lord's yet to touch, that he's going to?
Amen.
We got something worth living for.
Yes, sir.
So the Lord comes to Abraham. Abraham, I want you to take your boy. I want you to take Isaac, and I want you to offer him. So I don't know exactly what all Abraham was doing right there at that minute that day, and you don't either, because the Bible don't tell us, give us the exact details of that. We didn't GPS Abraham that day. We don't know. Whatever the Lord says. But I want to tell you this tonight. There came a time that Abraham went home. And I can remember as a little boy, one of my favorite times of the day was when my daddy pulled in the driveway. Because I dropped everything I was doing. Now, I'm just going to tell you something. I was a daddy's boy. I love my mama. She lives in heaven. Bless her heart.
Come on, brother.
But I thought if anybody could walk on water beside Jesus, daddy had been on his heels.
Come on.
I was a daddy's boy. Anybody else feel that way?
Come on.
Maybe you was too. So when he pulled in the driveway that evening, it didn't matter what I was doing or what mama told me to do, I was going to see daddy. And I run up to his truck and I'd open his door and I grabbed his lunchbox for him and I took it in the house for him. Because I wanted to see him. Couldn't wait to see him. And I'm proud to announce right now I'm 43 years old, and when my daddy, you know what I do? That's my wife. I honor him. And you ought to also. Youngins, listen to me. You'd honor him.
Come on.
But I was eager to see him. And I was eager to hear what he done today. And it, you know, I didn't care what he done. I just wanted to be close to my daddy. Well, that day Abraham went home and here's Isaac. And guess what Abraham knows? Mark, he's not going to Isaac and say, well, the deal fell through and I can't get you that new car. He's not going to Isaac and say, well, I didn't have time to go by and get you a new iPod today that you wanted. Son, we can't go out and eat this week. That wasn't what he was telling him. I wonder what Isaac saw from his daddy when God had dealt with his daddy that day. Wonder how Isaac saw his daddy respond to the call of God on his life. That's leadership. Macy, did you ever see your daddy just plumb out of sorts when he was starting to preach? You was too young. But if she was old enough to remember, Cindy, did you see it? Yes. Abraham come home that day. Just get lost in your mind. Abraham come home that day. I wonder if Isaac saw him struggling that evening with the call of God. I wonder if Isaac might have saw his daddy get mad at the call of God. I wonder if it's, by the way, how many's ever been mad at something that the Lord done? I mean, we just kind of got crazy for a little bit, didn't we? I wonder if Isaac might have saw his daddy get in a bad mood. I wonder if Isaac might have saw his daddy get short with his mama because of the call of God. I wonder if Isaac might have saw his daddy question God. I wonder if he saw him complain. I don't know any of those things. You know neither. But Isaac was still a little boy. Abraham was still his daddy. And the call of God was going to have an effect on Isaac. The call on Abraham's life. Either way, whatever Isaac saw that night, that evening, he had a relationship with his daddy. And whatever, however his daddy acted or however his daddy responded to the call of God, it was going to affect Isaac. The leadership in that home was going to affect the child. No matter what he did, it was going to affect Isaac in some form, in some fashion, in some way. I wonder if Isaac might have snuck around and heard the conversation between his mom and daddy that evening. Something he didn't need to hear. Regardless what Isaac saw that day, I believe with all my heart tonight, I believe, now listen to this, this is deep. I believe Isaac saw the effect on his daddy because God was dealing with him. Amen. I want to say this tonight. I'd hate to be a daddy that my youngest never saw God dealing with me.
Come on.
Amen. I'd hate to be a dad that my youngest never saw me love the Lord.
Come on, brother.
I'd hate to be a dad, and when I say dad, I mean mom too. Right. I'd hate to be a dad that where my youngest never seen me love the Lord in some way, some fashion. I'd hate to be a dad that when they put that second date on my headstone that they have to question, scratch their head. I sure hope daddy was saved.
Come on.
Amen. Regardless what all Isaac saw that evening, he knew that the Lord was dealing with his daddy. What else did Isaac see? I got to hurry. We'll be here at 12 o'clock.
Come on, brother.
What else did Isaac see? The Bible goes on. Verse number 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. The Bible says he saddled his ass. And look what happens. He took two of his young men with him. And he took Isaac, his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose up and went into the place of which God had told them. Now, Isaac didn't know the rest of the story at this point. But let me tell you what Isaac did know. He knew that his daddy had come in there at some point during the morning and woke him up. A heartbroken, heart-wrenched daddy came in there and had to wake him up and said, "Boy, you got to get up. This is a different day."
Come on.
And when Isaac gets up, he looks around. There's two of his daddy's men with him. And we've got all the wood and we got the fire. And Isaac knows they're going for a burnt offering. And he raises up. You see, Isaac sees his daddy raise up and begin this journey in the call of God. And Isaac witnesses that. And he witnesses his daddy getting the wood for the burnt offering. He's got the fire. He's got the men. He might have had a pack mule. Whatever he's got. Isaac sees his daddy get everything prepared and get to be obedient and answer the call of God in his life. And Isaac witnesses that. He witnesses everything his daddy's doing. And he witnesses his daddy start a journey. And how many would agree that would have been the hardest journey we've ever took? He witnesses his daddy start a journey. And you know what? They come a time, Mark, that they left the yard there. They left the barnyard with everything. And you know, and Abraham probably started walking. And you know, I was like, y'all remember watching Scooby-Doo? Well, you remember this little, was it his cousin named Scrappy? He just all the time jumping around, hunting Scooby, Scooby, Scooby. Remember that? That's how I was with my daddy. Where are we going, Daddy? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? You going to get us a drink? You know, that's the way I was when I was a little boy. Maybe that's the way Isaac was. And Mark, as happy and cheery as he had to be, how many times have you had to put on a fake smile for your daughters? Fake smile for your daughters. Can you imagine what Abraham's going through? Daddy, where are we going? Daddy, what are we doing today? Maybe Abraham's not answering, but I tell you what Isaac is seeing. He's seeing his daddy take a start a journey for the Lord.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something, church. A church is a journey. Those that want to pop in and pop out, they're not really committed to the Lord.
Come on.
I'm talking about being a true, born-again believer, church member, faithful to Calvary Baptist Church. You listen, when you sign up to the mannerisms of Calvary Baptist Church, listen, Calvary Baptist Church is not perfect because we're here, amen? But listen to this. Being in a church, it requires faithfulness to the journey of the church. The church is going to go through highs. The church is going to go through lows. It's going to go through good times. It's going to go through bad times and tough times. We're going to laugh. We're going to cry. We're going to make mistakes. But you know what? We still have a God. He's still perfect. He's still on the throne. And He still forgives.
Amen.
So it's our journey. The journey for the Lord is not one service.
Come on.
It's a life.
Yes, sir.
It's a life. That is when you start out your journey for in front of your youngins, it is a life.
Amen.
When you commit to these up here, I'm not concerned about the commitment tonight. I'm concerned about the commitment for Sunday morning and the commitment for next Sunday morning and 2029. Hey, and the existence of this church forever.
Come on.
As long as the Lord leaves us here.
Good.
It's a journey. Isaac watched his daddy commit and begin on the journey that God gave him in his life. Adults, has your child ever watched you start your journey?
Come on.
Have you ever started your journey to commitment to the Lord or commitment to these? Or maybe tonight you're here and you need to start your journey tonight fresh and anew. I commit myself to Calvary Baptist Church. Because there's something needed in this church. There's something needed in the future of these children. There's something needed in the future. And it's not just the... I'm going to tell you something. You guys are influencing those guys. Amen?
Amen?
You're doing something for them. I mean, they some of them out there that say, boy, I'd like to trade places with them. I bet their knees feel better than mine do. They some of these folks that love to be where they are. Would love to have the opportunity again that they have. They some of you are sitting there tonight thinking, I wished I would have started my journey for the Lord as early as they have.
Come on.
Amen. You can't go back and hit the rewind and you can't do that. But you know what? How about investing in theirs?
Amen.
What else did Isaac see? The Bible goes on. The Bible says they're walking along here. The Bible says then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I believe as they're walking, Isaac probably saw his daddy get discouraged. If it had been me, Isaac would have seen his daddy a-crying.
Oh, yeah.
Isaac would have heard his daddy a-praying. Isaac probably would have heard me complaining. Truth be known, Mark, I might not have went. Just go ahead and get real.
Come on, brother.
They're making this journey and Isaac's with his daddy. And he sees his daddy maybe going through a low, maybe going through stress, maybe going through heartaches, maybe going through hardships. But then all of a sudden his daddy kind of does an about face and he kind of stops. And look what the Bible says. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. You know what? Isaac saw his daddy. He saw his daddy had a vision of where he was supposed to be. I tell you folks, if we'd ever get a vision of where we need to be and a vision of where we're supposed to be. And if our youngest could realize daddy's got his eyes focused on the Lord and daddy sees God and daddy sees what the Lord's wanting to do. Hey, listen, if that's a vision of my youngins see, that's what I want them to see. And Isaac saw his daddy have a vision of what was afar off. Listen, Abraham got to the place God wanted him to be. Hallelujah. And what a vision for Isaac to see that.
Yes, sir.
Isaac saw his daddy get to the place God wanted him to be.
Amen.
What a blessing.
Has
your youngins ever seen you get to the place you need to be in with the Lord? Hey, has your youngins ever seen you get right with God? I mean, just really get right with God. Has your youngins ever seen you just cut loose and just praise the Lord for saving you?
Man.
That you're not dying going to hell.
Thank you, Lord.
Youngins, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If your mom and daddy's got their vision on what God wants, you ought to hit your knees and thank God for them. And Isaac saw this. Daddy's got his eyes focused on where God wants him to be. Not what he's given up.
Come on.
Did you hear that? Not what he's given up. He's focused on what God wants him to see. The Bible goes on, verse number 5. And Abraham said unto his young men. Abraham, he stops. He sees his place. All of a sudden he turns around. He begins to speak. The Bible says, he says to him, abide ye here with the ass. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And we're going to come again to you. Isaac sitting there not knowing what all his daddy's doing and not knowing the whole story, not knowing what all God has said. And I know Isaac don't know because he's asking his daddy, where's the sacrifice for the offerings? Isaac don't know the whole story, but he hears his daddy say, men, y'all stop right here. Me and my boy, we're going up this hill right there and God is going to meet us on top of that mountain and we're going to go up yonder and we're going to worship a mighty God and we're going to come back to you and listen, you just stay right here because God's going to do something.
Amen.
And Isaac sees this.
Amen.
Isaac sees this. It may be kind of like your daddy saying, you back up, his firecracker's getting ready to go off and boom, it's going to make a big old explosion. Can you imagine how big your eyes would have been? Isaac just heard his daddy tell his men that. We're going up that mountain. we're going to worship.
Amen.
That means God's going to meet us there, and we're going to come right back down here. And Isaac sees this from his daddy. You know what Isaac saw right there? That's pretty simple tonight. Isaac saw his daddy proclaim that God's going to be where he told me to be. Isaac saw his daddy proclaim that we're going to worship. And Isaac saw his daddy proclaim, I'm going to have victory in the Lord. You say, preacher, how do you get that? Abraham knew that he had to go sacrifice. And the only thing that was going to stop that is victory in the Lord. And you know what Isaac just saw his daddy do? Isaac just saw his daddy promise those men, we're going to go yonder and worship and we're going to come back. Amen. Listen, if our youngest could see us and really realize it, hey, we've come to worship tonight. We've come to commit to the Lord and God's going to bless. God's going to show up. Hey, what an example we can live to our youngest if they could see that in us.
Amen.
Just go ahead and proclaim it. God has been good. Amen. Hey, if we proclaim it to our children, what a difference it'd make. And Isaac saw that. He saw his daddy. 100% faith. But Abraham's still standing still.
Come on.
And Isaac's standing there. As Abraham, the Bible says, took the wood of the burnt offering. Brother Mark, I believe that's the heaviest pack of wood he ever picked up. Because he laid it on his boy. Did you notice that in the Bible? Don't miss words in the Bible. You'll miss a great story. He picked the wood up, the Bible said, and he laid it on his boy. He laid it upon Isaac, his son. And then he reached down and he grabbed the fire, the Bible says. The Bible says, and he took the fire in his hand, and then look what it grabbed. A knife. That wasn't his favorite hunting knife. That wasn't his Boy Scout knife. That was the knife that he was going to place in the chest of his boy. And Isaac saw that. And Isaac looks at him. The Bible says he took the wood and laid on Isaac. Took the fire in his hand. Took the knife. And he says, come on, boy. The Bible says, and they went both of them together. You know what Isaac saw, Mark, that most youngins today don't see? Isaac saw his daddy fully, 100% commit to God. 100%. I believe that's 100%, don't you? Would you do it for Mara and Macy? We'd fail, brother. Would you do it? You'd fail. Would you want your parents to do it? Isaac saw his daddy 100% fully commit to God. Folks, when he grabbed that wood, he grabbed that knife, he grabbed that fire and said, come on, boy. You know what Abraham was doing? He was walking by faith. 100%. And we call it walking by faith when we hit and miss on church.
Come on, brother.
Hit and miss on our youth. Hit and miss on our elderly. Hit and miss on being a deacon. Hit and miss on preaching. Hit and miss on being faithful to the house of God. We call it fully committed. That ain't fully committed. It's making self feel good is what it is.
Come on, preacher.
Instead of making God glorified. Isaac saw his daddy fully commit. You know what needs to be in their eyes? A fully committed mama.
Come on.
A fully committed daddy. A fully committed grandma, grandpa. You know what they need to see? A fully committed church.
Come on.
100%. Fully committed. Will it take sacrifice in our own life to get us to the point of fully committed? And so Isaac realizes what's going on and they walk up the mountain. Verse number 7. What did Isaac see? And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. You see, Isaac had been taking note of what was going on. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Let me show you something Isaac saw right there. Lord, just give me this. Isaac saw that everything wasn't in place. Let that sink in a minute. You know what's unfortunate that our youth sees a lot of time in our churches? Stuff out of place. And sometimes they don't know if it's right or if it's wrong. Because they're still youth. And you know what that does? That gives a mixed signal. So eventually that makes them unstable. And they might obtain eventually a double mind in what's unstable in all his ways. And something being out of place in the house of God may affect them to the point that it affects their future, their home, their marriage, the upbringing of their children, because something might be out of place, because something might be missing. Let me give an example, and if this chaps you, hallelujah. Listen to this. There's a lot of churches today that will take our all King James Bible and they'll put another one in its place. They've got the piano, they got the musician, they got the preacher, they got the congregation, but they are missing the very mouth of God.
Come on.
How can we have church? How can we have the Spirit of God like it needs to be? How can we have the Lord moving and motivating and saving and doing all the wonderful things? Well, preacher, you just said nobody couldn't get saved if they didn't have the true Word of God. Have you ever led anybody to the Lord and didn't have a Bible around? Yes, you have. But where'd you bring the Scripture from? Your heart. What I'm saying is this tonight, one important piece missing can change this church forever. Isaac looks at him and says, Daddy, we've got everything together, but where's the sacrifice for the offering? And look at what his daddy said to him. Abraham said, my son. Now, in case you hadn't forgot, Abraham hadn't been to the top of this mount yet. He's walking up it. And Abraham looks at him and says, son, he says, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. And you know what that done? That satisfied Isaac at that moment. You know how we know that? Because the Bible says, so they went both of them together. That satisfied him. Because if a youngin ain't satisfied, you know what they do? They keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. And we lose our patience. And they keep on and keep on and keep on. You know what Isaac saw that day? When his daddy looks at him and says, son. You know, Isaac may not even be realizing what he was seeing. But when his daddy told him, he said, God will provide. Isaac saw 100% his daddy's faith and his trust and his hope in Jehovah God.
Amen.
100%. Oh, if there's something I want these youngest to see tonight, I wouldn't want them to see a blue shirt on my back. I'd want them to see that I 100% got a faith and a hope and a trust and an almighty, never changing, forever saving God. Amen. Somebody that'll love them unconditionally. Somebody that'll be there for them. I would that they would see this in y'all. I would that we could see this in them. I want them to see this in us for the existence of the church.
Amen.
This is important for the future.
Come on.
And Isaac sees this. The story goes on in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of. Isaac didn't see his daddy turn back.
Come on.
Isaac didn't see his daddy stop when the going got tough. Isaac didn't see his daddy take a day off or say, I'm going to ignore that issue. Isaac didn't see his daddy get yellow belly backbone and turn away and say, hey, I can't do it. Hey, listen, Isaac saw his daddy start making the fire. Start putting the wood together. Bible says this, and they came to the place. And Abraham, you know what he done? He built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order. And then Isaac felt the very hands of his very own daddy come and pick him up and laid him on the altar. And Isaac sees this. Isaac sees this. You know what Isaac saw? And Isaac, whether he knew it or not, he saw his daddy get to work for God when going got tough. I believe that's one of the toughest times in Abraham's life, wouldn't you? And he saw his daddy get to work. Because it plainly tells us right there that he built an altar. You know what the altar is tonight? You know one of the greatest works that we can do in our church tonight that'll help them? And I think it starts with this tonight. I think we need to get to work in the altar. Every one of us tonight, I mean, get on our knees praying, saying, Lord God Almighty, I thank you for what you've done for us. I thank you for the blessings upon Calvary Baptist Church. And Lord, forgive me for taking it for granted. Forgive me for not being fully committed. Forgive me for not getting to work, Lord, in the work of you. Forgive me, Lord, for not being that I should be. God, I want you to move tonight. Listen, I believe every one of us can get to work building our altar, whether at home or in your own personal life. or in his church. Building the altar. Building the altar. And Isaac sees this. He sees his daddy get to work for the Lord. And I can't imagine, the Bible don't say what all the conversation was between them and how Isaac must have seen things or how he must have felt. But you know what Isaac saw right there? Look at verse number, look at verse number 10 tonight. He laid his son upon the wood, the Bible says, and look what Isaac saw his daddy do. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And Isaac saw his own daddy give it all to God, even if it meant his family. He saw his daddy 100% give it all to God, even if it meant his own family. Church, I tell you, that's pretty deep tonight. And that gets pretty serious when you can say, Lord, I give it all to you. Because I'm going to tell you what, men, if you want to win your family, give it all to God. If you want to win your spouse, give it all to God. If you want to win these back here, give it all to God. If you want to win the future for this church, hey, wouldn't you like just go ahead and beat the devil? I mean, just beat him up real good. Hey, just go ahead and give it all to God. And Isaac saw his daddy 100%. Lord, it's what you want me to do. I give it all to you, including my son. And Isaac sees this. But the Lord wasn't done. You see, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham! And he said, here am I. I believe that's the sweetest words Abraham ever heard. Somebody called his name. Look what happened. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. Don't you believe his heart jumped a few hurdles right then? He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad. The Bible goes on and says, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. The Bible says that Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And look what happened. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You know what Isaac saw? Because of his daddy's leadership and because of his daddy's obedience, because of his daddy's commitment, and all those things we talked about. Because Isaac had a good leader, he was able to see heaven move. He was able to hear the voice from heaven. He was able to see God do something miraculous, a miracle. And Isaac is seeing this. Has these youngins saw heaven move inside this church? Has these young people saw God do something miraculous inside this church? Has these young folks seen God? I mean, God show up in a mighty way and God do things out of ordinary, and I mean just extraordinary, and just blow your socks off. Hey, has these youngins ever seen the true movement of God? Hey, you folks know how to get a hold of God. You know how to tap into the Holy Spirit of God. You know what's required to labor and work and do this church. We need to lead them in the right way, and then they can experience the fruit of your labor. And as Isaac lay there, he saw the deliverance of God. And Brother Mark, all those churches we talked about a few moments ago that you and I have been to, it's been years and years since they saw the deliverance of God. And you know why? Because nobody wants to be Abraham in the day and time we live in. Nobody wants to be Abraham. Everybody wants to be the TV preacher and get paid millions. We didn't sign up for that. We just signed up to be a little servant of the Lord. Just a pilgrim and a stranger passing through with an opportunity to love the Lord with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, and just proclaim Jesus saves, Jesus saves. What a blessing. About leadership through the eyes of Isaac. You think it's changed Isaac's life? Isaac was able to see God because of the obedience of his daddy. Church, if there's a future for them to see in this church, you're responsible. You're responsible. This ain't giving them lunch money. This ain't giving them snack money. This ain't giving them driver's license. This is eternity we're talking about. This is the existence of this church in a godly fashion. And somebody needs to be willing to invest. Amen. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Macy.